Natalie preached on standing on the rock. Well, Don and I have experienced standing on the rock, and he is faithful. He's an awesome God. On the 24th of October last year, our son was driving home on the Pocono Tuakau Road, which probably most of you know, and he received a phone call, and he bent down to pick up his cell phone, and his car veered onto the wrong side of the road. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people just veer off onto the side of the road, but there was a 68-ton truck coming in the opposite direction, and it went right over his Toyota Hilux. His car ended up 18 inches compressed. So, as you could imagine, most of his body was completely decapitated and broken. We found this out by a phone call. It's probably the worst phone call you can get in your whole life, from the police over the phone. We're just ringing to inform you that your son has been killed. At that moment, you almost go numb. It is not a good feeling. But you know, your life, and some of us have had hard things in our past life and you know, to where we've got to today. And, you know, we can complain about those things, the bad things that happened, the good things. But you know what? They make us who we are today. And you know, we've lived through it. We are strong and we are well able. You know, don't ever let your past hold you as a cripple and paralyze you. Your past is part of who you are. It has made you strong and it's made you who you are for today, for what God wants to use. And at that moment, Jesus the Rock was there. And we rang our other three children. And down through the years, that is one thing we have made a decision that everything we do as a family. When we decided to go on the mission field, or when we decided to go to Bible college and then come back to New Zealand, they were all choices and decisions we made as a family with God. And it's a really good thing to do, to empower your children with these things. And so we decided to go out to Pukekohe, to the police station, and see Regan. By then they had taken him to the Tuakau funeral directors. And we went in there as a family. Elena, who was, got to remember this, 33. Regan, who's 28. And Christy, who was 24 at the time. And Regan was 31 years old. He had a wife and a three-year-old daughter. His wife and daughter were at home. And we went in. And I saw my husband cry out to God for him to raise up Regan. For probably 2 hours, we prayed as a family for him to be resurrected. And I know many of you are mothers. And as they prayed, you know, they were around his face because they had made him look, they'd cleaned him down and he was lying there. He wasn't in a coffin, he was just on a bed. And as a mother, touching our children is really important. And as they were hugging and kissing his face, I started running my hand down his body. And I felt the broken bones. I felt the reality of the death of my son. And I don't know whether God just held me in that paralyzed state, but at that time, I was the one that had to hold it together. And I said to Don, "He's not coming back, let it be." The hard part for him is that he's prayed through the nations and seen babies raised from the dead. And he said, "Why, Julia? What's wrong with my faith?" He thought something was lacking in him at that particular moment. And I said, it's God's choice, not ours. And it was good to go as a family, you know, and be there with God and to pray. And we went out and spent time with Regan's wife. But the next day, you know, things are not always easy, and we got together, our family sort of just consolidated, and we all moved in together. And the next day we got a phone call from the hospital, and because of everything in Regan's body was smashed and impacted, his heart exploded and everything else, but they asked, could they have his eyes? And I just want to speak to you that you need to empower your children. You know, Regan's wife rang us and she said, "You make the call on this one." And we have had a young man in our church that received his sight by somebody donating him corneas for his eyes, and he received his sight back. And so my heart was like, my son's eyes. And Don said, "Let the children make the choice." And Joshua, who sort of stepped up, he was the big brother, broke. And he said, "They can't take my brother's eyes because that's who he is." Because Regan had the most amazing eyes. If he came, in fact, everybody that met him sort of said to us, he's sort of got Jesus' eyes. That I think Regan was born in the wrong century. He was one of those guys that should have been back with the Crusaders, you know, with a sword. He was a justice person. I remember many years ago we had a guy molested a child in the church, and Regan was still at high school, and he came to his father and he says, "Look, Dad, I know you're a pastor and a man of God, but just put him in a room with me, and I'll deal to him." And that was his sort of thing. He battled with injustice, and if anybody touched a child, well, that was not acceptable in his eyes. But you know, we were at home, and Don was broken for 3 days. He just lay in his office, like he said, and he cried. And I had family flying in from Australia and all this going on. I'm thinking, Julia, just hold it together. You know, and I'd go in my ensuite and I'd cry and I'd pray. And I'd say, "Okay, God, you've got to keep me going. I need to do this." And I think as women, we have the strength, girls. We have the strength within us for our family. And that's what I say to you. You know, like, we might look like a princess, but God has put a sword in our hand, and you know, we're for justice. And you know, when we come up and we pray for things, don't just pray, take the head off that sucker, you know, take him down completely, take those giants down. You know, God has put that within our hands, and it's something that sometimes us girls, we're just real good at it. You know, we're not soft and weak, we're strong. And I felt that strength. You know, I had a friend who lost a son 8 years ago, and they said, "Oh, we might just start going back to church, and we might just start serving God." And you know, I thought, what a waste. What a waste of 8 years. You know, our Redeemer lives. The stone's been rolled away. My hope, because Jesus said, "As it is for me, so it is for you." And so Regan and Don was up in the room crying, and I was thinking, well, he's a lot of flipping use, you know. But, you know, we've got to get to that stage that we, and when we go through these things, that we all do it differently. And he had to find his way with God. My time was coming later. But so he was up all night just crying, and as he said, he went to the book of Job. And that verse he got, "Though he slay me, I will declare that my Redeemer lives." You know, I will shout it, I will declare it. And you know, I wasn't going to give the enemy any victory in this. And so I was downstairs in bed. You know, sometimes my escape was sleep. And the first night I went to bed, and every time I went to shut my eyes, all I could hear was this little boy crying, "Mum, help me." And I saw this boy lying on the side of the road, hurt, and saying, "Mum, where are you, Mum? Come and help me." You know how little kids do? And you know, the enemy is always out to lie to you. I couldn't sleep that whole night because I could hear Regan crying to me. So the next day, Don spoke to the coroner, and they said, "No, he died on impact. He knew nothing of what happened to him. It was just like that, and he was gone." But see how the enemy came in to try and pull me down. And then what I did was I sat there and I thought, was I a good mum? You know, was I a good mum? Did I do it right? And so out came the photos, and I'd start looking through the photos, and I'd see this little boy laughing. And I'd think to myself, yeah, I was a good mum. And I started thinking about all the naughty things. He was a naughty boy. He was so like Don, multiplied by 100. He was, you know, like, he was always into mischief. He and our friend's son, they got thrown out of Sunday school. You know, the pastor's kids thrown out of Sunday school because they just were bored. You know, and boys, they wanted to do things. And when he went to school, they weren't allowed to climb this kauri tree there. Actually, when we were singing that song this morning, I'd forgotten about this. But, you know, Regan loved Jesus. He really did. And he went to school and he was told, do not climb the kauri tree. Well, hello. To a little boy, it's, let me get to the kauri tree. He told the headmaster, the only reason I come to school is to eat my lunch and play with my friends. And so he climbed the kauri tree and he fell down. Right, I don't know how far out, but he fell down. And I said to Regan, you could have broken your bones, Regan. That was dangerous. He says, Mum, Jesus just caught me on the way down. And when I hit that ground, it was like cotton wool. And you know what? He wasn't damaged. You know, and he had always had these stories to tell. Regan could tell the best story. And many of you who know Jürgen Matthesius, Jürgen reckons, I am nothing compared with Regan. He says, Regan can talk me under the table. You know, they got on so well together. And so so my refuge was sleep. If I can just get sleep, I can function during the day. But Don got on YouTube and he found that song of Nicole C. Mullen. Never heard of her ever before in our lives. And he brought it down and started playing it to me in bed. And we were just crying. And you know, you feel like all your dreams are ripped away. You know, our hope was, well, let him. Regan had gotten married, had a 3-year-old daughter, had bought a farmlet, had a successful building business. Just an awesome young man with so much potential. Knew the word of God. At 15, Don said to him, if you can learn half of Psalm 119, I'll give you $50. He learned half of Psalm 119. So much potential, and you think, what a waste. And so we were in bed, and we were just weeping, and we were thinking about what an awful way to die. And actually, somebody has said this to me since, and it was a great analogy. She said, your richest grape was crushed, and everything that was within that grape was crushed out and poured out. And we sat in bed and we thought about Regan's death, where his body was broken and his lifeblood poured out. And you know, it was like the Holy Spirit came and sat with us. And one thing I want to encourage you this year, church leaders, is to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, he is not a mystical little thing that floats around here. He is a very present person that wants to come and sit in fellowship with you at your table or wherever you are. He wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you great things. You know, the other day, I was sitting down with my women and I'd been in a meeting with Don and they'd been doing their study. And I came and I sat down. And as I sat down, there was a spare seat beside me. And I said, girls, the Holy Spirit has just sat down with us. Where are we up to? And they started telling me the story. And I felt the Holy Spirit to start to give revelation. And I said, girls, have you thought of it this way? And I started teaching them on what the Holy Spirit was giving me. And this is what he wants to do in your life. This is something fresh that he wants to pour out and be a reality in your life today, that he is a person that wants to come and live and be your friend. And he came and sat with us. And God said to us, I know what it's like. And it was really funny because he was talking personally to Don. You know how God speaks to you, and you know it's up here, and you can hear his voice in your head, but it's yours. But I could hear what he was saying to Don. And he says, I know what it's like to lose a son, for him to be broken, for his life blood to be poured out. But I gave him for you. You see, it says on there that freedom isn't free. No, it's not free. But we've got a Savior that paid the price and it's free for us. Freedom is free for us because we've got an awesome God that paid the price. And God's having this conversation with Don and he says, but I gave my son for you. And Don says, I could never give my son. Never could give my son. And God said, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to give him back to me now because he's mine. And that Psalm 139 that Nat spoke today, you know, Regan has been with God always. Nobody's a mistake. However you were conceived, birthed, or whatever, God planned you. He knew the spirit of you. And then he formed you in your mother's womb. And he put that spirit in you. And you were birthed. Whether you were conceived out of wedlock. Whether you're adopted. Not whatever. God planned you. And you're on this earth for a purpose. And a destiny. A hard thing. Somebody said to me a week later, no, it was 2 weeks later, they did a service over in the North Shore of Sydney, John and Anne Iliano, and they spoke about Regan. 300 people got saved. And they said the seed is in the soil and there's fruit coming. And I said, well, that sounds great. Great. I says, but if you gave me the choice, the seed or the fruit, give me back the seed. See, as a mother, I wouldn't freely give my son for the life of somebody else. You know, we sing songs and we're so holy, you know, I'll give it all up for you, God. But when the reality comes and there's your child sitting there, will you give it up? You know what, I couldn't. I'm not God. I think that's only a choice that God can make because my son is so much part of me and I cannot put my place up there, can't put myself up there with God. He freely gave his son, but if I had the choice, I'd say, give me my son back. So on we walked with God and I had to preach that Sunday, and leaders, as you go through things, You need to be transparent with your people in your church. If you hurt, your people hurt. If you're celebrating, they will celebrate. And so I was preaching that Sunday, and of course everybody said, oh, we've got somebody to preach instead of you. And I sat and thought about these people, and they really didn't know Regan because he lived in South Auckland and we're on the North Shore. And I said to Don, you know, I really need to talk to these people. I remember before we moved into our building, we went to Sydney, and Phil Pringle took up an offering, and we gave a huge amount of money, and in fact, then we had to go up and double it because God had spoken to both of us. And I was thinking, well, how are we going to eat now? You know, we're given so much money. But, you know, then we came back and we had the opportunity of buying the building that we're in. And then we had to press the people in our church to give till it hurt. You know, God had to take Don and I to that place first before we could take the church there. And as leaders, I think we need to be totally transparent. So I said, okay, I'll preach and I will tell the church of my son and the journey we're on and that amazing song that God had given us. And of course, you're very brave, you know, you get up there and we discussed what we were going to say. And Sunday morning gets up and then you're not, well, I'm not too brave now. Yeah, it's getting, you know, even like tonight I was sitting there and thinking, do I want to go there? You know, this is, and I said, Don, I don't think I can do this. And he said, he knows I love Robert Schuller. I love that program. So he turns on TV and the hour of power's on. And Robert Schuller says, I'd just like to introduce our guest artist today. And it was Nicole C. Mullen. And she did not sing that song. She sang a song about the woman with the issue of blood. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. And as she sang it, I realized that Regan had touched the hem of his garment. And he was made whole. But you know, when you go into grief, you go a little bit crazy. You know, you're a bit nutty, you're a bit spaced out and that. And it was like God saying to me, Julia, just reach through your madness and the craziness. Touch the hem of my garment. And you'll be made whole. And you can do this. See, God's on the journey with us if we just let him. You know, the Holy Spirit's right there. You know, when you're facing your worst nightmare, your fear, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. All these sort of dovetailing, you're listening to it, you know. It's not the absence of fear. Holy Spirit's there. Pray in tongues. This is why God gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. That as we pray in tongues, we can overcome anything. And that morning, we went and we shared who Regan was and what he was. And part of it is that I head up two or three departments in the church since Don had his accident. And part of them is community. And you know, the best thing to get out of your pain and your hurt and whatever is to start doing and giving. Doing and giving. And we support an orphanage in Vietnam. It's run by a Catholic nun. She's not supported by the Catholic Church because you're not allowed to have religion in Vietnam. It's outlawed, and she was sent out of Vietnam during the war, and she came back in afterwards, and she started gathering up these orphans, because how do you change a nation? One child at a time. One child. That's all it takes. And so, you know, there was all these people that probably wanted to give flowers and give whatever to Regan, and we says, let's do something that's close to Regan's heart. As children. Regan adored children. If there was a family gathering or whatever, Regan would be out in with the kids. And you know, we hear today, you know, this generation is a wild generation, it's a bad generation. You know, the youth of today are one of the most awesome generations on this earth today. They are amazing. When they get saved, they're totally sold out for God. They're going to lay their life down for the kingdom of God. But my son said, "Mum, have you seen the generation coming up? Have you seen those kids in Sunday school? Get them filled with the Holy Spirit now." You know, Don had a, gosh, this was the thing I had to battle. "God, why did you take my son? Why don't you take my husband?" That's an awful thing to say. But you know, we've lived our life, our kids are growing up, but I have a little 3-year-old granddaughter that needs her daddy. And who's the biggest hero in a child, little girl's life? It's their daddy. Remember this, guys. You dads, you're the biggest hero in your kids' lives. So into them. You know, there's so many things to pull you away from your families, your children. And Regan says, "Look at them. Look at them, Mum." And my granddaughter, one of our grandchildren that lived with us, my youngest daughter wasn't married when she had Taylor. One of the things God said when we gave that money is the blessing that's coming down through this is generational. You know what he said? "I'll take that child. I'll take that one. She is fearfully and wonderfully made." She's the illegitimate one, as you'd say. But God says, "I'll take it." Never judge. Never judge, because that's the one God. We've got to remember this. How people have been conceived, lived, or whatever. Don't judge, because God will take them. And that little girl at 3 years old, she wasn't quite three, Don had clots in his lung. Every morning, she would come in. As soon as she got up in the morning, she would come in, slide her hand up on the under the bedclothes and put her hand on his chest. "In Jesus' name, be healed. Jesus' name, be healed." Who knows if it was the prayers of that little girl that healed him. Never, ever doubt the prayers and what children hear from God. And watch out for the next generation. If you've got a spare hour in your week, put it into that generation, because they're going to be awesome. But you know, when something like that happens, what will you say about your God when he doesn't give you what you want? When he doesn't raise your son up? Do I still walk in the same enthusiasm? Do I still declare the miracle-working power of God? Because he is well able to heal and deliver. You see, what I had to get in my head was that my future is not robbed from me. I had to sit down and have a little conversation with God and the Holy Spirit. Because my dream, doesn't matter who else's dream was, Don's dream or whatever, my dream deep within me was that my son would take and pastor the church from us. That he would move in the power of God 10 times as powerfully or more than his father. Because he was a courageous young man. And he was taken. God said to me one day, "Who is your future, Julia?" Well, I guess, Jesus, you're my future. And where is home? It's not here. It's not a grave. My home's heaven. So, where's your son? Well, he's in heaven with you. So where's your future? In heaven with you, God. See, sometimes you just need a good slap to bring the reality of what you already know. And this is why, as this time that we've heard today, that you've got to stand on the rock. And there are times in your life that you need to rebuild the wall because it gets taken down a little bit. And you know, we're always looking for help. And we're running, you know, as adults. Well, you know what? God's saying that we are the fathers and the mothers now. Stop looking as babies. Help me. Let's come to God ourselves. And you know, the greatest mentors in the whole world are within this book. And who built an amazing wall but Nehemiah? And God took me to the book of Nehemiah. And he says, okay, Julia, we're going to build the wall together. We're going to restore the wall. And you know, some people weren't encouraging. In fact, there have been people that have, after Don's accident, there's people left our church. They've attacked us. You know, that's when the enemy comes. He's dirty. He's a dirty lowlife. Wake up, people. Yes. And you know, we want to run to people. And look at David. You know, he had that great victory. You know, and his men are celebrating. And then they get home and, oh, the family's gone, the wife's gone, and all our possessions, the enemy's come in and robbed them. Well, David, we're going to kill you now because you're a mongrel. Who did? What happened then? It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Come on, people, we're leaders. We need to rise up and have that relationship with the Holy Spirit and God that we can build the wall. We can encourage ourselves and we can grow up and we can lead. You know, we're always going to have people that are going to say things against us. What are you going to focus on today? I'm not going to focus on, well, it's really sad that my son's died. Well, it is sad. But let's get more people won for the kingdom of God than ever before. I'm not going to lie down and stay at home and feel sorry for myself. I'm going to raise generations that are going to take this nation. And as Regan said, how do you change this nation? One child, one person at a time. And it takes you to walk across the room and say to somebody, hi, I'm Julia. Tell me about yourself. And within that telling me about yourself, you will hear something that you can connect with and build a relationship and bring them in to the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. That's you. And we need to tell more people than ever about this. Okay. I've got to hurry because two other things I want to tell you about Regan. Because I don't want you to forget him. I'm going to tell as many people about him because he was an awesome young man. But he loved God. And you know what's so amazing? Last night during that worship, I was sitting there and Rebecca's done a thing on waves of grief. And she's got this, I hate the picture actually. It's got Regan looking down through the clouds at her and she's standing on the rocks on the beach. And it's like waves of grief coming over. And he's looking down at her. And I didn't like the picture. But last night, that picture changed. And I saw him sitting back like he sits on the lounge chair and he used to cross his arms and he'd laugh and then he'd tell me a story. And he went to me last night. He laughed. He says, oh, Mum, it's all right. It's all right. I'm here with Jesus having a yarn, you know, telling the stories. And I thought, you know, God's so good. When you come into worship, God can tell you amazing things. Another thing about Regan, he's a very clever young man. He learned from a young age that his father was away a lot. And I used to have to carry things. And he used to come home and say, give me a hug, Mum. And so I'd give him a hug, you know. Okay, thanks, Regan. He'd go, no, it's not a hug until it's at least 2 minutes. And in those 2 minutes, he knew if I was upset, I'd break and I'd cry. And then he'd say, oh, Bub, I love you. Right? Awesome young man. Remember when you give somebody a hug, give them a 2 minute hug. 2 minutes. Because it breaks down all those boundaries. You know, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, we had unconditional rules in our house. you know, that you don't break. And he broke one. And I said to him, Regan, leave the house. You know the rules. That is one of my values you don't break. And so I didn't see him for a week. He went, stayed at one of his mate's place. This is when he's working. He was 18 years old. And he came home. And he looked at me. And he took his belt off. And he handed me his belt. And he says, Mum, 3. And he bent over. He was a bit bigger than me. He was a bodybuilder. He said, Mum, discipline me because I was wrong. Discipline me. So, man, I gave him 3 of the hardest belts I could give him. But then he turned around and he hugged me. And he said, thanks, Mum. Because he said, I don't want anything between us. He'd learned the power of forgiveness. And the third thing, I'm finishing, okay, guys. The third thing that Regan used to say to his father every time he walked in the house, Dad, have you walked past somebody in need this week and you haven't helped them up? Because you haven't, you're not a Christian. If you've walked past somebody in need and you haven't helped them, you're not a Christian. Didn't matter who they were. See, Regan went to James Cook High School in Manurewa. Tough school. He was a successful businessman. 2 or 3 Christmas ago, he heard that one of the guys that were in his class, he got into trouble over a drug thing, and the drug dealers had come in at Christmas and stripped his house, even taken his Christmas tree, all his kids' presents. Regan went down the road. He went into one of those hot roast places. He bought that family a roast dinner and some presents for those kids and a Christmas tree. And he took it. See, that young man deserved what he got. But those children didn't. The next Christmas, it was the Christmas before last, he went to buy groceries. Came out with his turkey and his ham and everything. And there was another one of his friends sitting out there with his kids. No money. We'd call them losers. Handed him the trolley and he went back in. And he bought another lot of groceries. You see, the love of Christ is not conditional. The love of Christ is helping up. Stretching out an open hand and lifting somebody up from where they're at. That's the story of my son's life. It's powerful. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. We still have to go through the grieving process. Don went through it by making videos with that song, My Redeemer Lives. And playing them to me, it nearly drove me crazy. In the end, I said, don't make any more, because I couldn't stand it. Don has one of those obsessive behavioural things, you know. He was probably ADD when he went to school. So he went from there, because all the plum trees around, we live near an orchard, all the plum trees came in fruit. So he went from making videos to making plum jam and bottling plums. But you see, that's how he worked through his process of grief. And as he said, we took a gift and gave it to the driver, a big hamper of food. Because the best thing to do to get you from where you are now is by stepping out and giving to others. You see, I didn't want to be like that family. It's taken 8 years to do anything for God. What a waste of Regan's life to be paralyzed in a position. You know, you might go through bankruptcy, you might go through death, you might go through whatever. But don't be locked in to where you are. Give out. And God will reach down and he will bless it. And you will be fruitful. Because, see, God wants to pour out something more special in these last days. But he's looking for new, fresh wineskins. And that's you, each one of you. Don't keep looking back to the way it was yesterday, because God is doing something new today. Always be refreshed in the Holy Spirit, in the worship. Let God keep supple, keep new. Let God pour what is new into your now. And just wait and see the awesome things he can do. Okay, that's it. I hope you enjoyed my son's laugh.
You know, the amazing thing was that Sunday when Julia got up and shared, we both got up and shared actually in our church 3 days after Regan. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days after. And there was a couple sitting in the second row. In fact, they've shifted over from Northern Beaches, from Phil Pringle's, whatever that church is called. What's it called? Oxford Falls, that's it, CCC. And they're sitting in, and they've been in our church, I don't know, a year now, but they were sitting in the second row. They're a very inspired couple, they're on fire. And he leaned over to her and he said, "Can you believe these two people?" He said, "This is 4 days after their son's been tragically killed, and they're inspiring us." And he said, it's unbelievable. He said, "I hope if ever I'm in difficulty, I can be like those couple." And she said, "Oh, I don't think we can do that in that tragic circumstance." And that was Sunday. Exactly 7 days later, he's on the door, he's giving out pamphlets as people come in, "Welcome to church, it's great to have you here." He gets a phone call on his mobile, and it's, "You need to be in the hospital right now, your son's just been tragically killed." And man, I couldn't even believe it when they told me. He had to leave church right then, and we all prayed for them and da-da-da. And I went around their house. You know, I've never been good at the grief thing. I've never kind of had tragedy in my life. When my grandma died, it was like, she's old. And I don't know, that may sound terrible, but that's everybody's where they are. I was sad that my grandma died. Don't get me wrong, I was very sad. I was very sad. I loved my grandma and I spent a lot of time with her. And I used to go and hang out and I lived with her for a few years. So it was very, very sad. And I nursed my granddad when he was in his latter years and was very close. I was at my grandma's bed when she passed into eternity. And but it was, you know, it was sad, but that was it. And but when these people's son died, you know, God must have done something in my life after my son died, remember, 7 days before, that sort of thing. I went to their house that afternoon, and they now say, "Don, you're the best griever we've ever had." And the reason for that, I mean, I've just, had we buried Regan at that stage? We had, yeah. And I arrived at their house, and honestly, I walked through the door, burst out crying, and cried for the next 7 hours. And I didn't know what to, every time I tried to talk, it was just, I cried. And they still say today, "Don, we just love you. You're the best." People came in and tried to say the right thing, but it's always the wrong thing. But there's nothing you can sort of get across that's right. But they said, "Don, you're the best griever we ever had. So thank you for being there." And so it just shows you God will use anything in your life. And we go through stuff, honestly, some of the toughest stuff you'll ever go through in your life. I mean, I should have been dead like I don't know how many times now. When I had that, my lungs, both lungs filled up with blood. And what do they call that? bilateral pulmonary embolism. I think the hospital has said, I am the only survivor in this country of a bilateral pulmonary embolism. When both lungs totally burst and fill up with blood, and like you did, because you can't breathe. Try to breathe hard as you can't breathe. And one of my interns got me to hospital, and just, if we'd waited for an ambulance, I would be gone now, but because he took me, I'm alive. Glory to God. And so, some reason God's got me here. And I have no idea what it is, except that there are thousands of people without Christ. There are thousands of people that need healing. I'll tell you this one story and then I'm going to close. In fact, I'll read you one verse, tell you one story, and then I will close, all right? Is that okay? Because I just want to give you something. So I'm going to read you just one verse out of the book of Mark, chapter 8. No, that's not where I'm reading from at all. Luke, go to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Go to Luke chapter 5, and I'll read you this verse in 5:17. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. You ready for it? God, let this be anointed right now. God, everything that's happened here tonight, I pray right now that it's, I don't know what you've done, God, but you've done something in this house. I know that there's a deposit been put in here tonight that'll live on in eternity in Jesus' name. God, let this word. Now it happened on a certain day as Jesus was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town in Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but nobody was getting healed. That's pretty much what it says. If we were saying the story today, the power of the Lord's present in a meeting like this where there's an anointing of the Holy Ghost in here right from the worship when they're worshiping tonight. There's angels ascending and descending in this crowd. You can't sing worship songs like that and not have angels present. We need to realize the power of God. That's why we need to invite everybody to church. I just say to my people, invite everybody you can to church. Just get them into church because the power of the Lord's there and he's present to heal. He'll heal a broken heart. He'll heal a broken mind. He'll heal a broken spirit, and he'll do it. And it don't matter, really. People share stuff in church, but it's the power of the Holy Ghost. And God's here. And in that story, not a soul's getting healed. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are criticizing Jesus and thinking, I hope he doesn't heal anybody. It's the Sabbath day, for goodness sake. And they're all learned people. They all think they know the Bible and Jesus is sharing. And there's an opportunity for every single person to be healed, delivered, and set free. And not one person's getting it. And then four ordinary people put one guy through the roof, and it's the most miraculous thing in the world. And they criticize and they point the finger at Jesus and they try to justify it. And I want to tell you right now, the greatest thing we can ever be on here for is to reach the lost, save the lost, heal the sick, set captives free. And you know, I look at my life and I say, God, that's all I'm here for. And I want to be an instrument in your hand. And I spoke about the other day, why do we do what we do? First night I said, why the heck do we do what we do? Because it's sometimes a stink life. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you don't want to do it another day. Sometimes you want to quit and give up. I've tried to quit and give up dozens of times and it just doesn't work because stuff happens. And then great things happen. People get healed, delivered. Just last Sunday in our church, a lady, she started screaming out, I can hear, I can hear. Will you turn the music down? I can hear, I can hear. And she's been deaf for like 15, 20 years. She's been deaf. And all of a sudden, the power of God came into the house. And that afternoon, we prayed for, we had a meeting with some people in the Vietnamese culture. And we just had a miracle afternoon. And one lady, she came up and her eyes were all cloudy. And all of a sudden, she said, I can see, I can see. And the cloudiness disappeared out of her eyes. And her eyes totally changed color. And she had these beautiful blue eyes. And she can see. And God's into miracles today. And it's miracles. Time and it's like we need to be dreaming more of it. They brought a businessman into our church last week. He doesn't go to church. He's never been in church. He's a very wealthy man. In fact, he arrived in his Maserati to church, and he arrived there and he sat down. Just because simply we say, just bring somebody to church. Don't get true trying to work it out. We're always trying to work it out. What's a preacher like today? I hope he preaches good. I hope our pastor's on form today. I hope he says something that's going to work out. Bull. It's not even about what the guy says. It's about the power of God being in the house. Power of the Lord was present to heal, and nobody's getting healed because we're all trying to reason. Well, the pastor, is he any good? Is he going to say the right thing? God let him be funny today. God let him say something that'll inspire somebody, and it's all bull, friend. I want to tell you, just get them in the presence of God and miracles will happen. And sometimes it's hard to get there because, and anyway, he got wonderfully born again. He got born again. It's unbelievable. On Tuesday night, I get a text on my phone and it says, will you please baptize Gavin next Sunday? And I thought, God, you are awesome, you know. I mean, this guy, I don't even think he knows what he's done. I don't think he has a clue what he's done. He's come to Christ and now he's wanting to be baptized. And then next thing they're saying, look, he wants it private because he don't want what his friends will think of this. And I'm saying, no, we don't do it private. We're doing it in the house because it needs to be a public demonstration of what God can do. And we'll get alongside him. And next week, so it's going to happen. Next Sunday, we're baptizing this guy. And God's awesome, you know. And I just think we need to be ready for anything and ready for what God wants to do. And that's my word to you. And I'll share one more little bit is that I was in Melbourne a while ago, and because I'm into stories, I think, you know, God loves Jesus. That's all he really did was tell stories. Yes. And I was staying in this hotel. I had a friend of mine there, and we're staying in a hotel, and we were at a conference actually, and we arrived late. And don't you hate arriving late? You know, you miss out on a lot of stuff when you arrive late. You miss out on the front seat. I hate the back seat. I like to get under the spit. Your eyes can get healed. Stuff can happen. And I had to sit in some ungodly place, like was right over one of those far over the edge sort of thing. You can't even feel the anointing. And we went home. I was upset and the hotel was stink. We couldn't, and we hadn't even booked a hotel, so we just tried to get one when we got there. And we were in a stink hotel. Everything was stink. And my attitude was bad. My attitude was bad, I've got to tell you. It's hard to believe that you've been a Christian for so long and you've preached to thousands and said, fix your attitude and get everything together and be nice and be a Christian, and then your attitude stinks. Julia and I went and stayed at a house once where I'd been traveling the world as an evangelist, and we went and stayed at this house, and I'll never forget it long as I live, because I'd flown back from England, I think, and picked up Julia at the airport, and then we flew down to, we won't say where, country not more than a million miles from here, and the people picked us up and they said, look, we're not putting you in a hotel, we don't do that as a church. And I was thinking, well, you stink and your attitude stinks and I hate you all, and don't you realise I haven't seen my wife for, I think it was about 8 weeks at that stage, and I just would have liked to spend one night with her in a hotel or something. We haven't got the owners of the house through the wall, you know what I mean? Anyway, sorry, anybody under 16 here, whatever. They took us to this house, and I had the stinkest attitude, I tell you. They took us there in a Murray Minor too. It was like the smallest car. We had our bag suitcases were hooked on the bumper, you know, to try and get there. It's honestly what it was like, and I was mad, like I was not good. And Julia's saying, who do you think you are? You think you've been an evangelist for years, been staying in some flesh hotels, now you think you're somebody and you think you deserve this and you think you deserve that, and I'm like, shut up and get out of here. That's how it is, you know. That's real life. And that's, honestly, I think it's great to have somebody alongside that does that to you now and then. Anyway, the driver went, he said, I'll just go and check that they're ready for you. And I said to Julia, who cares if they're ready or not? It's like, yeah. Anyway, he came out and he said, come on, he's got a big smile on his face, come on, I'll take you in. And I went in, I was so mad that I didn't, the guy's at the door, you know, welcome to our house, and I was, yeah, good to be here, and walked in and went to the bedroom. The bedroom was so small, you didn't even have to chase her. It was like, just grab her. And It was honestly, and I was just mad, honestly. And I said, look, he couldn't get the suitcase where you could open it properly to do the stuff, so I left it to her. I said, see you later, I'm out of here. And I went out to the lounge. And I went to the lounge. It's a funny thing, this. You know, your attitude can, and Julia's consistently saying, who do you think you are? Get your attitude together, your attitude together. Your attitude. You've preached it thousands of times, but then you get a lesson. I must say I'm a lot better these days. But this is why. This is why. And I go out to the lounge and I'm looking, and there's a picture of a beautiful girl on the wall, and I thought, boy, you know. And so I was looking at this gorgeous painting of this girl on the wall, and I was thinking, that's a pretty girl. And then the next thing, someone was standing behind me. And anyway, I just, you know how you feel the presence of people around you sometimes? And I kind of looked around, and here's this guy that I didn't sort of shake his hand, didn't kind of give a hoot, actually. And I said, oh, who's the girl? He says, you know, we're so glad that you guys are staying in our house this weekend. This is the anniversary of that girl's death. And he said she was 21 and she got murdered. And we are so honored to have you and your wife staying in our house. And you better believe I felt like I was about that tall. It was like God did five miracles in the next 2 seconds, you know. Chopped my attitude out, broke my heart, did stuff in my spirit that caused me to think so much bigger than what we are. His plan's bigger than what we are. We know nothing. He knows everything. God, I just want to be a vessel in you. God, I might be a chipped vessel. I'm a broken vessel. I'm a vessel that's out of shape most of the time. You know, God will use any vessel you are. The only vessel he won't use is a dirty vessel. That's what I've discovered in life. That's the only vessel God won't use is a dirty vessel. You study the scripture. That's the only vessel he won't use. And right there, and honestly, what an honor it was to be in that house. And he told me this story. He said, you know, I used to be such an angry man. And he said what happened was that when this man murdered my daughter, raped her and murdered her. And then he told me this story. And he said, you know, I so hated that man. I was so angry. But he said, you know, the amazing thing was, and I forget the time slots here, but some time ago, I went into prison and led that young man to Jesus Christ. And forgave him and adopted him as my son. And you better believe that I was totally and completely shifted in my views, opinions, and walk. So God can do so much with you wherever you are. It was an honor to stay in that house. I was talking about Melbourne and I had the same attitude come on me. It's amazing how it comes back. I think Paul said something about that, you know, I do the things I don't want to do and the things I do want to do, I don't do, and all that sort of stuff, you know. And that's what we're like. We're human. You better believe it. And it's like, that's why I love repentance. That's why I'm always on the front. That's why I'm up there. God, I want to be, wash me in your blood. Get that worship coming on me, God. I want to be a part of it. I want to be washed by worship. I want, where the blood's not been, the oil will never flow. And God, wash me in the blood of Jesus. I want the oil. I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm hungry for it. And so we're staying in Melbourne, same attitude comes on me, and we're in Melbourne there, and I got up in the morning, and honestly, there were cockroaches and all sorts in this hotel, and it did stink, honestly, well, I don't know that it stunk, but it was horrible, and I said to the guy I had with me, I said, come on, let's get up and pray, we need to change the atmosphere here, because prayer changes the atmosphere. You might have noticed, I thought tonight when you got up and got us praising, something happened in this place. Prayer, praise and prayer change the atmosphere. Ask Peter and Paul and Silas if it changes the atmosphere. It'll crack open a prison door. Anyway, so I said, come on, we need to change the atmosphere. And he was too tired. And I said, come on, get out of bed, man. Get out of bed. And we're walking back and forth in the room. I prophesy this is going to be a day of divine appointment. God, that you're going to have miracles happen in front of our eyes. That this will be the best day we could ever be in this city. That at this conference today, everything's going to be transformed and we're going to have miracles in Jesus' name. Then he went back to bed. And I said, I'm going to breakfast. And I started walking down the hallway toward breakfast, and I'm walking down the hallway, and I've kind of got a competitive spirit in me, you know. I've always had it. Don't know why that is, because I had two brothers, so I don't know. But I'm walking down the hallway to go to breakfast, and I see this couple coming the other way. And I knew the elevator was about halfway. So it was like, I will beat you to the elevator. And whatever happens in life, I will be out to beat you there. It don't matter what. That's why I drive a HSV, Holy Spirit Vehicle, V8, because we can get there quicker than you can. And so I'm going toward the elevator, and I want to beat them there. And I arrive there just before them and poke the button. And then just as they walk up, I turned to them and I said, you don't know what a great day you're going to have. Just getting in the elevator with me is going to be good. And that's a statement in itself. And they thought, this is what they thought. Like, I don't know this right now, but this is what they're thinking. This is a weird guy. This is an out there guy. Then we get in the elevator, and I'm in the elevator, and I just feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost on me. And I said, I don't know what it is, but I said, there's something wrong with you, lady, and God wants to do a miracle in your life today. I think this is a divine appointment, I told her. In fact, can I have breakfast with you guys today? This is like in the elevator. And you're paying. No, I didn't say that, honestly, but I did say, I'd like to have breakfast with you guys today. I sit down and I start having breakfast with them, and it was just like a divine, supernatural encounter. And I started sharing my testimony and telling them about the awesome God I serve. And I don't know why, it just happened, honestly. It was like I had the smile of God on me. I reckon it was that prayer time in the room. Something shifted in the atmosphere. And we are atmosphere shifters. We should be. We should never sit there and try and work it out. Get rid of reason out of your mind and get faith released in your spirit and let something happen that causes you to have the power of God was present to heal, and people were getting healed in Jesus' name and getting saved. And so we're sitting down. Then I said, you know, I don't know what it is in your life, but I said, I just feel God wants to heal you today. She said, you know, I don't know what it is, she said, but how did you ever know that I've got leukemia? And she said, I've just come down here because I've got a death sentence over my life and I need a miracle. And I'm like, okay. And so I said to them both, I said, you know, the best thing you could do today, greater than any miracle, is if you were to give your lives and surrender them to Jesus Christ like I did a few years ago. So at the coffee table, while we're eating breakfast, they both pray the sinner's prayer with me. It was just so darn awesome. It was just amazing. And they received Jesus Christ. Then I said, here, why don't we do this? Let's go back to your room and let me pray for you that you'll get healed of this leukemia. And so we go back to their room, and it was amazing because I just said, you know, I don't know why. I don't even know why we use oil most of the time. It's like people say to me, why do you? Somebody said to me I was praying for them the other day, and I said, I'll just put some oil on you. And they said, why are you using oil? I said, I don't know. I think the Bible says use oil, and so let's use oil. And so we didn't have any oil, but she had some perfume there, so I sprayed a bit on my hand and anointed her with perfume, and then we prayed that God would totally heal her and deliver her. Now, a few months later, and this is why I'm sharing this with you, a few months later I get an email. I get like probably 150 emails a day. So most of them I delete, especially when I see one from, it just had from Karen. And so, and the subject was a special thank you. And so I delete, because most of those I delete. And after I delete it, the Holy Spirit said, you should open that one up again, just have a peek at it. And I opened it up because I couldn't even remember who Karen was. But Karen says, hello, Don. I'm not sure if you remember me or not, but I just wanted to thank you for introducing me to Jesus Christ and the special prayers you prayed for me a few months ago. You were staying in the same hotel as my husband, Chris, and I, and when we met you in the lift going down to breakfast, we thought you were the strangest man we had ever met. You stated that it was going to be a great day to be alive and that you had something great in store for us that God had given you. Unknown to you at that time, I had been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. You asked to sit with us at the breakfast table, which we thought was really strange. Then you prayed the sinner's prayer with us, and following breakfast, you said you'd like to pray with me. I was deeply touched by your compassion and didn't really understand it, but your spiritual awareness somehow had an effect on my life. Now that I have found your email address, I just want to let you know that that was the greatest day of my life, and I want to thank you. I am now healed. This is simply wonderful. I don't have to go back to hospital again. Something I was so terrified about, and I want to thank God for you stepping out of your box and coming into our lives. I want to tell you right now that God will use anybody who will dare step out of their box. And I tell you, stuff will happen. Bad stuff happens to good people. But we've got to know and realize it's not about now, it's about eternity. And it's about a far bigger picture than we're in ever right now. And we need to be activated in that realm more than we've ever been in our lives. I believe right now that God, and I'm going to pray for people right now. Now, here's what I want to do right first. If you're a pastor in this house, if you're a pastor here tonight, I want to pray for you right now. Stand up the pastors, any pastors from anywhere. Come on out here. There's three of them here. Four of them. Thank you. Wives, bring your wives. I hope if you've got your wife, bring them. Because we're going to pray for these guys. I tell you right now, I believe, and I want to prophesy, and I was thinking tonight while Julia was sharing, God, what do you want to do in this house? And God says, I want to activate a greater dimension of the supernatural. I want to activate it in this area, in this part of this country. And honestly, get ready for it. Get ready for young people pouring into the care. Young people are not going to come to church because we've got this, that, and the next thing, because we've got all the right lights or anything. They will come because there's something happening that's supernatural. It's the power of God. It's the anointing of the Spirit. And they'll come searching for it. They're going right now to every demonic thing. I've got a friend recently who's been so into the demonic that he went to a party and demons showed up, and he saw, and God opened his eyes into the supernatural, and he literally saw demons pecking the flesh off human beings. It freaked him out so bad on a Saturday night that Sunday morning he was waiting for church to open. Waiting for it to open. We're living in a spiritually aware age like we've never been right now. And I want to tell you, get ready for a revival of the Holy Ghost. God's about to do stuff we've never seen happen before. And I'll tell you right now, if we're ready for it, if we're prepared in our hearts, God will do it. Hello? Honestly, it's not about how good your pastor is. It's not about how cool we are. It's about how good God already has been, has done, and has already been there. He already went to the cross. The cross is empty. It's all ours today to take. Let's ignite, if this is called ignition, let's ignite our faith tonight into a realm, and let's believe God that these guys have given their lives for something and sown their hearts into it that's going to produce an ongoing supernatural effect in Jesus' name. Stand with me. I want every person in the place to stand with me. I want you to stretch your hand toward these guys. I want to lay hands on them tonight. I want to impart something into them. I want you to grab something tonight. I feel, in fact, I just feel right now, as a pastor, I want to say, get ready not to receive healing just in your own life, because God will do that anyway. I tell you what, I'm a walking testimony of that, and God will do a miracle tonight. But more than that, I believe God wants to activate something in your spirit that sees further than anyone's seen. That just sees further. We got to see further. God, open the eyes of my servant that he can see that there are more for us than there ever have been against us. You haven't got a building like this. Some of you have got buildings and stuff right now. You haven't got these buildings so we can have church in them. You've got the buildings so God can bring in the broken, the lost, the hurting, the lame, and get them healed, restored, and delivered in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you right now, pastors, lift your hands to the Lord right here, right now. Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost, not in the natural realm, not in the ordinary realm, but we step into a realm above that tonight, and we begin to proclaim and call things that are not as though they were. If it's lost, he can find it. I want to tell you that right now. If it's lost, he can find it. If it's broken, he can fix it. If it doesn't exist, he can pull it out of nowhere, and he can cause it to exist just by one word. And God's going to bring something on your pastor's lives tonight. God's going to anoint you with something. God's going to ignite something tonight, and it's about to spark inside your spirit. And God says, what's going to start will never stop. And I feel that in my spirit tonight. And I feel that God wants to breathe upon you with a breath of his anointing tonight and break mindsets that have held you where you are. Even expectations where people have said you should be more like this or you should be more like that. And God says, I want you to be more like me. I want you to be more like my son. I want you to step out of boxes. I want you to break boxes open, break mindsets, and get expectant. Holy Ghost, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to start praying right across this auditorium. auditorium right now. I know it's a Saturday night. It's not a prayer meeting night, but I want you to start praying. I want to turn this place into a prayer meeting from the front to the back, to the from the side to the side. Holy Spirit, stretch your hand toward these guys right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I prophesy and declare that this be the greatest day that we've ever lived in. God, that this be a day of revival. I prophesy over these pastors. I prophesy right now, Lord God, that something ignite inside their spirit tonight that cause them to see, Lord, what you're doing. Holy Ghost, now in Jesus' name, let fire burn in his spirit. And God says there's so much that you've dreamed about, that you've hoped for, that you've never seen. But God says, get ready for me to open your eyes and you're going to see it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Holy Ghost, right now, I speak the miracle power of the Holy Ghost over you. And I pray right now that every infirmity would be broken off your body, off your life. And in Jesus' name, I declare strength flow through your body right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, in that hip, in that spine, I declare the healing mantle of the Holy Ghost. Shabba-ba-ba-ba-yanda. You guys are called for such a time as this. And I loose an anointing on you right now. That these hands are healing hands. That the power of God is on you for such a time as this. In Jesus' mighty name. Ushakababa. Take it, take it, take it, take it. God says there's more. God says there's more. God says drink it. God says stand there and drink the anointing. Let it fill you to overflowing in Jesus' name. Now, 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 now. God says, now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Bula baba baba yanda moshikeria baba yanda. Ushikebia baba yanda. Shumani amani yanda. God says to you that nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. The pathway I've led you on, every little bit of it, God says, I've led you. I've put it this way, and I've led you that way. You've heard my voice. And when I woke you up in the middle of that night and told you to turn to the left, God said, I wanted you to turn to the left because I just wanted you to know that you'd be a man that caught my attention. And when you heard my voice, you obeyed me. And God says, now take the anointing of the fire of my power upon you. Shukedi abba baba yanda. Lama lama lamulianda da bari ababa yanda. More, 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 more. God, pour it into him. God, activate the supernatural. I speak a dimension of the Holy Ghost that begins to burn inside your spirit, that you can't sleep, that you can't relax, that you get motivated by the power of God, that you see his hand extended in Jesus' mighty name. God, I pray right now, right across this place, Lord, that you activate something. God, that we see stuff we never saw before. That we see stuff, God, that we see stuff. Who is it right now? There's somebody in here. And I don't know why it is, but it's like you've had a dagger shoved in your heart. It's held you back. It's made you weak. It's made you unenergized. It's caused you to stop being what you could be in God because you don't want to be hurt anymore. But God says, I want to take you beyond that. Whoever that is right now, get out the front here right now, whoever that is, if that's somebody here, if that's you, if that's you, somebody you know, honestly, come over here right now because God's going to set you free tonight. Come over here, ma'am, come over here. Come over here, Holy Spirit, right now. Which interpreted means get ready to be set free in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's somebody else here. You're too weak to even get up here, but you need to be here. Too weak to get up here. You just don't want to be. You just don't want to be a spectacle. You don't want to be seen. You don't want to be exposed. But God bless you for being here. I'll tell you what. This is what God just said to me right then. God said you can't get there yourself because sometimes we can't get there ourselves. We just can't make it ourselves. But this is what God said to me right there. The Holy Spirit said, "I'm going to carry you to the altar. I'm going to carry you where you can't be yourself. I'll carry you." It's like He'll pick you up in His arms and He'll carry you to that spot. So even standing on this altar, you can't get there yourself. Don't think you can for a minute. It's a power of the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus already did 2,000 years ago. And we need Him to carry us into that place. It's a place of faith. It's a place of breakthrough. And this is what He says, I'm going to carry you and lay you at the foot of the cross. Holy Spirit will do that. You'll sense His fragrance when it gets on you. He's here in a very, very powerful way tonight. He's here in a very powerful way. He'll carry you to the foot of the cross. When Jesus died, His blood never, it's eternal death. It's not some pitiful death where His blood's gone all dry now and it's powdery and it's finished. His blood is as wet today as it was on Calvary. It's right now sitting on top of the mercy seat in a vase. It blots out every sin you ever committed. It's spilt on the mercy seat. And it blots out everything. When God looks at it, He don't even see your sin anymore. That's why I can say, God, thank you. You set me free. I can walk in the boldness of the Holy Ghost because my sin is gone in Jesus' name. Blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. And we're free in Jesus' name. You're free tonight standing on here. Nothing can hold you back. And this is what He's doing. He lays you right there at the foot of the cross in one drop of Jesus' blood. I see it coming down and dripping on your heart right now. And the minute that drop touches your heart, you're healed in Jesus' name. Lift your hands right now. I feel the anointing on that right now. I feel, in fact, I'll tell you what God says, set free, set free, set free, set free. It's broken, broken, broken in Jesus' name. Gone forever in Jesus' name. I break it off your hair, off your life, off your spirit tonight. And I pray right now, God, set him free in Jesus' name. There goes the healing anointing right through you right now, right now, right now. God, right through him. Heal the spirit. Heal the spirit. Heal his spirit. Heal his heart, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Moshikababia, sister, take it right now. Gone forever, gone forever, gone forever. It's a brand new Holy Ghost victory, day of power, day of anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I want to pray for another bunch of people tonight. In fact, I just feel, honestly, we just need to minister to people right now. But I'll tell you what's going to happen. God's going to make you more aware of the circumstances you are around you. Some of you just need to know the Holy Spirit a little better. I just really believe. You know what I was talking about last night? I never really went there, but to know the I just want to know the Holy Spirit a whole lot better. Jesus said, I'm going and He's coming. I'm going and He's coming. And we get, you know, I've got little grandchildren. Oh, isn't it great when you learn to talk baby talk? You know, it's a stupid. You look more stupid than you've ever looked. When you're down the supermarket and you've got your little, you know, I love little kids. I love little kids. I met one of our people in our church the other day and they were in the supermarket. And I went out and they've got this little boy. He's called Oliver. And I went, Oliver, I don't know how old he is. Just a little kid. He's a little wee baby. And I went up and went, and Oliver's eyes lit up. And he's like, you are the man, Pastor Don. He can't talk one word. He's just a little baby. But he lit up. And I believe there's something about the language of the Holy Ghost that we've never got onto. We've never caught it. You know, in Babel, they spoke a language and it got out of control and they started building whatever they were building and God came down and confused the language. When the Holy Spirit came, God put that language back in a supernatural way and we're speaking the language of the Holy Ghost. And it's a language of victory. It's a language of power. It's a language of liberty. It's a language of breakthrough. It's a language. And I believe there are people here right now, and I just want to say this. We're going to minister to you tonight because I believe people are about to go into a whole new dimension of knowing the Holy Spirit. A whole new dimension. Some of you need to get that back again. Some of you forgot what it was like to have Him lead you. And when He says to you, just step over the side there. Go talk to that person over there and tell them about my love. Walking down the road and He says, stop. Turn around. Go talk to the person right there. That's a person I want to minister to today. We've got people in our church right now who have been saved just through somebody. You know, I talked about treasure hunter the other night, treasure hunters. We've got treasure hunters in our church. They don't, and Julia reckons I made a mistake telling you how it happens, but it doesn't just, they don't just get a good idea and get out in the street and prophesy over people. That's goofy. That's like dumb stuff. That's like religionese. It's like trying to prove who I am. They get a word from God. They spend an hour in the presence of God. Holy Spirit, lead us to somebody tonight. Who will it be? What do they look like? How's it going to work? And the Holy Spirit gives them direct words and just key words and leads them to specific people. And they're getting saved. They're getting healed. There's miracles happening. And we need to have that happening in every life here. You're all instruments of God. You don't have to be clever. Honestly, if you think it's clever, I missed long time ago, kindergarten dropout, but found the Holy Ghost and got birthed in the Spirit of God. Hear the voice of God. Know the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I just go down the restaurant. Down the cafe, I like doing this. I get in the cafe and I order 2 cups of coffee, please, 2 bacon and eggs, and sit down. I've been asked by one waitress came one day and she said, your friend's late. I said, no, he isn't. He's right here, actually. And just when I said it, she started, this is what started happening. She started going. And honestly, she was all but falling over. And she said, what is it about you? She said, there's something here I've never felt before. She said, there's a power here. Something's happening. And before that lady finished serving me that day, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Just because of the Holy. And it's as simple as that. And the good news was the Holy Spirit wasn't hungry that day and I got two breakfasts. I think sometimes we need to treat him a lot more real, like he's just here. He's 12 foot tall. He walks around. Sometimes I'm in a meeting like this, he just walks right past me. Sometimes I feel him go past, like he just catches my attention. He says, come over here. I want you to pray. Right now, I want you to pray. He's saying, I want you to pray for you right now. So come on out here and lift your hands to the Lord, because God says, I'm going to do things in your life that have been dreams, that have been an expectation in your spirit, but God says they're dreams. And they're dreams that God says, I'm going to give you a reality to. I'm going to give you a whole new perspective. They're going to become not one-dimensional, but they're going to come three-dimensional. Three-dimensional. They're going to be activated by the Spirit of God. And right now, anointing of the Holy Ghost, just fall on it tonight and activate the power of God in Jesus' name. I'd fasten you. You know, sometimes we got the Holy Spirit over in the corner of the room there where we do our thing. And he's standing over there thinking, well, one day you'll give me a chance. One day, I hope you give me a chance one day. But he wants to be actually operating in the meeting. Come out here, sister. Power of God's on you right now. And he just wants to do stuff that's beyond us. And I'm going to lift your hands as you come, because the Spirit of God's already on you. Get ready. God's activating supernatural stuff and your expectation is rising up. And God says things that you have never ever considered. God says, I'm going to do stuff beyond your consideration because you have the mind of Christ. Now, Jesus released fire in a life in Jesus' name. Jesus, we praise you right now. We praise you.